So thank you, everybody, for joining us. There are seats down here at the front, and I promise we won't spit on you.
We do have water guns, though.
We do have.
You weren't supposed to tell them that yet.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Good morning, everybody. My name is Sean Christensen. I'm a senior product marketing manager within Microsoft System Center Windows Server inbound technical marketing team. To my right is...
My name is Adam Hall. Sean and I are in the same team. We kind of split workloads a little bit. I look after the application space. Sean looks after the service delivery and automation space. So between us, we kind of cover the self-service elements within System Center and Windows Server.
So what we wanted to spend some time and focus on this session for you is, as Adam mentioned, this is not focused on the Client Configuration Manager self-service portal. So I want to let everybody know in case you were, we had one person come up and actually ask us that. Our objectives for today are, one, to help everybody here understand the, how the self-service portal functionality is delivered in System Center 2012. Just by a show of hands, who here is using Virtual Machine Manager 2008 R2 with the self-service portal solution accelerator on top of it? A number of you. Okay. Thank you. What we also want to show you is, in addition to how this is going to look in 2012, we want to talk about how you would migrate your data from existing implementations to Virtual Machine Manager 2012 and the self-service portal functionality that is available there. We're going to talk about the self-service capabilities of System Center 2012. That's why you got Adam and I here from a people process perspective and an application consumption perspective, and what resources are available to help you migrate. So, quick agenda, just to set what we're going to talk about. One is, what is the VMM self-service portal, sorry, Virtual Machine Manager self-service portal 2.0 solution
rolls
accelerator.
Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Rolls off the tongue, nice, yes. You got to take a breath in between. What is happening to it? How we map the SSP to the new System Center 2012 components? What does self-service in System Center 2012 look like? And then the migration tool that's available to you. So really quick, just to level set, and for those who have worked with it, fantastic. If you have not, this is just to give you a sense. Microsoft, our solution accelerators team, created for Virtual Machine Manager a self-service portal solution accelerator set on top of VMM 2008 R2. It contained a web page through which users in the self-service roles could create and operate their own virtual machines within a controlled environment. Kind of added a little bit of process control and request capabilities on top of Virtual Machine Manager as a standalone, at the time, product. With that self-service portal, users could would really only see the VMs that they owned and the actions that they were allowed to perform. And again, as I mentioned, it sat on top of Virtual Machine Manager 2008 R2. How it fit together is you had a couple of activities. You first set up what was called a business unit. You registered your users, or the administrator registered users, requested resources, and then assigned the two together. The data administrator configured what was available in the self-service portal database, the asset information, connecting it to the rest of the data center resources, and then approved and rejected requests that came in. Business unit users then were able to, once they had their business unit allocated, they could create and operate their own virtual machines within that environment. You had a Virtual Machine Manager self-service portal server and database. The SSP server interacted with Virtual Machine Manager for creating and managing the virtual machines, also interacted with other data center components. The SSP database itself contained data center assets, the business unit information, and the request information from other business units about business units to be created and updated. How things flowed from a process perspective: you first registered for a business unit, what was called a project, or what we're now calling project and what is going to be called a tenant. The data center administrator approved that request. The business unit then submitted an infrastructure request to get virtual machine resources and to designate their users. The data center administrator provisions the infrastructure and the related resources and actions and approves their overall request. And then the business units jump in and create their own virtual machines and manage their own virtual machines. That was the process. Now, this next part, one of my favorite Far Side cartoons, but unfortunately, I sort of feel like the deer with the birthmark right now. And you, for those of you who are using the SSP, you'll sort of understand why. What I just talked about was Virtual Machine Manager 2008 R2 and all the functionality that was available then. System Center 2012 removes the Solution Accelerator. It is no longer available. Actually, you cannot download it anymore. And that that Solution Accelerator is not being revved for System Center 2012 Virtual Machine Manager. What we have done is we have introduced the same capability and, in fact, expanded capability leveraging Service Manager, leveraging Orchestrator, App Controller, and something called the Cloud Services Process Pack, which is a new solution accelerator that sits on top of Service Manager and Orchestrator to provide the request process flow that the self-service portal for 2008 R2 provided. Hopefully that makes sense. So the current solution accelerator that was available for Virtual Machine Manager 2008 R2 is going away. You can no longer download it, but you get the same capability now within System Center 2012. Now, the rest of this session is going to be focused on what does that look like. We got demos, both from a service manager standpoint, orchestrator perspective, as well as app controller. We're going to walk through how all this fits together now. Now, one question that I often get is, what about the VMM, the Virtual Machine Manager self-service portal that's part of System Center 2012? There still is one. It's an optional installation. It is available. It was brought out as part of a migration solution for people who are already using a self-service portal on top of Virtual Machine Manager 2008 R2. Allows you to create, start, and stop virtual machines. Yes, it is available for use, but in terms of long-term availability, you're going to see a rationalization of these across Service Manager and App Controller. So don't expect there to be a single-ized portal for VMM beyond what we finally have now. So there is one for 2012, but for the VMM component. But going forward, Service Manager, App Controller are the primary portal interfaces within System Center.
So you want to add to that? If you're using the 2008 one, this is a good way to get to 2012 because it'll allow you to make that migration. Please don't start using the 2012 one if you're not currently using it. Okay, it's really there for legacy purposes only. Okay, please don't start using it because you'll dig yourself into a hole and we'll end up with an issue in terms of how to get out of this thing. Go with what we're talking about in terms of Service Manager, App Controller, and Orchestrator. That is the way forward. Okay?
Okay.
That's the bad news.
That's all the bad news. Now we get to show you all the stuff that looks good. So introducing this, the cloud. What we're going to spend time now talking about is the Cloud Services Process Pack, which is a solution accelerator add-on to Service Manager and Orchestrator, and then also App Controller capabilities for consuming those resources. So going back to the diagram I had earlier, what components are used inside of System Center 2012 now to support the same functionality that was available in the solution accelerator? Well, first off, the scenario of setting up a business unit. The business unit administrator uses the Service Manager Service Catalog. Who here has been to one of my sessions and seen this?
Anybody that was in the keynote, you saw it in demo 2.
You saw it in the keynote. When they got, was it Ryan or VJ?
Ryan doesn't.
Ryan got Ryan up, requested additional resources. I'll show you what it looks like here in a minute. The business unit admin also interacts with the Service Manager CMDB, or Configuration Management Database, to create all the resources that are then published and made available for users. The data center administrator also interacts with the Service Manager CMDB and the Service Manager connectors to connect Service Manager and Orchestrator and Virtual Machine Manager together to facilitate the flow of data and to execute the runbooks for provisioning. For creating and operating virtual machines, the users request capacity, request their project or what's called a tenant, and request virtual machines through the service catalog. and the Cloud Services Process Pack, which pre-builds a lot of the request offerings. Orchestrator, behind the scenes, takes that information and provisions the capacity in Virtual Machine Manager, provisions the virtual machines inside of Virtual Machine Manager for the users based on their requests. And then App Controller is used for consuming those resources, building out your own VMs, scaling them out, and making them available from an application point of view. What was the self-service portal server and database are replaced by Service Manager and the Service Catalog for the website. The SSP server is Service Manager and Orchestrator, and the SSP database is the Service Manager CMDB. So same capability implemented using a component of System Center that is going to live a lot longer. So a couple of concepts just to help level set. What was called, in the Cloud Services Process Pack, we have a term called a tenant. If you've been playing around with the Cloud Services Process Pack release candidate version, we called it a project. We made some updated terminology changes prior to release. This is not available yet. So what I'm going to show you is what is the RC. The RTM version we had to hold over until we completely released System Center 2012 so we could finally finish out the build. We'll be releasing the Cloud Services Process Pack in about a month's time. So watch the website, the download center, it'll be available from there. A tenant was what was a business unit. This is a logical grouping of capacity pools or resources together that's for a specific group within your organization. We have what's called a subscription or a resource request in the old terminology. This was a logical capacity pool grouping of virtual machine manager resources, service templates, VM templates, network, logical networks, VIP profiles, load balancers, so on and so forth, that's allocated to that particular tenant. A tenant can have one or more subscriptions. A subscription can contain one or more virtual machines within that allocation of capacity. We have what's called a request offering. That is a standardized term in Service Manager that relates to what was called a service portal request. So this is I'm going to walk through a little flow of how all this fits together and works. We start with what is the project administrator up in the upper left-hand corner of the screen there. Sorry, service provider. I remember my own slide. Service provider configures and manages the fabric of resources inside a virtual machine manager. They set up the connectors, they create the process pack, and configure the connector from service manager into orchestrator. That's your setup. The project administrator requests their project, requests to register a new tenant inside of the private cloud. Service provider approves that request, says, yep, you can create it. We then request capacity for that tenant, we request our subscription for our project. Project administrator logs a second request, comes in to service manager through the service catalog. The service provider approves that, and then capacity is provisioned. I'll walk through what that looks like here in a little bit. We assign that capacity, approve the request. The users can then access that capacity within their private cloud through App Controller. The project user can also then go and, if they so choose, request to have a virtual machine created. There is an option that allows you to choose whether you want to allow them to create their own without lodging a request or to enforce process control. If you have that process control enforced, you approve that virtual machine creation. Orchestrator then picks it all up and starts building the virtual machines inside of Virtual Machine Manager and deploys that in your private cloud. The virtual machine is created, and the user then is able to access those virtual machines. A couple features of what we're bringing out with the Cloud Services Process Pack. The ability to create and update a project or a tenant. Create and update a capacity pool, also called a subscription. Create and update virtual machines within that subscription capacity pool. Also, decommission any one of those. You'll see when I lodge the request, there is an option to select when do you want these virtual machines decommissioned, as well as deploying service, have the ability to deploy services and make that resource available in your capacity. We will be supporting, and this is a bit of some basic showback chargeback capabilities. What that looks like, and unfortunately I don't have something to demonstrate for you on this, is an OLAP cube-based report out of the Service Manager Data Warehouse that provides reporting for virtual machine usage by day. Reporting is done, again, via OLAP cubes in the Service Manager Data Warehouse. This is all standard functionality that's out of the box.
So just before Sean moves into that, one of the things I want to cover here is I get a lot of questions around what we showed in the keynote and what we showed previously with that controller. You all right?
Yep.
Please don't die. And the fact that Ryan requested capacity in the cloud, he got a big pool of resource, and then he can go do whatever he wants. He can deploy apps, he can deploy virtual machines. And the question I get is, how do I get approval as part of that? You know, how do I control it? What we're showing you here is the flip side of that conversation. You can create a pool of resource, a private cloud. You can say you can have this much disk, this much CPU, this much RAM, this many virtual machines, whatever parameters you want to put around it, and just say it's yours, go play in it, you can't break it, you've got that much, do what you want. Inversely, you can put a lot of process and control around it to say, well, you can have that capacity, but every time you want to do something, I want to approve it. This is the way we get in between the here's your pool of resource, go nuts, versus tight control. Okay, and that's what we're showing you here is the two different sides of that.
Yeah. And to add to that, your reality, how you want to run your business, can be one of the two almost extremes or somewhere in between. Everything I show you here is fully configurable.
Yeah.
Everything you saw in the keynote was based on a lot of this stuff, and we configured it in one direction for that specific scenario.
Yeah.
How you make this work is specific to your business, what controls your business wants, what processes you want to enforce.
The key thing that we showed in the keynote, I think, that it was a very small part of those demos that we built, but the important thing was that we picked up and operationalized what was deployed. Deploying out a virtual machine, deploying out an application is great, but who's backing it up? Who's putting antivirus on it? Who's making sure it's monitored? Who's making sure it's okay, meeting SLAs that are agreed to? There's all these things that you don't just deploy it out and magic happens, right? There's things, you guys know, there's things that you have to do. Things get installed, things get configured, databases get updated, the CMD get updated. A lot of that stuff happens automatically with the system center products that we have, but there are still things that are unique to your organization. You want to put your antivirus onto it. You want to add it into your backup rotation. Possibly you've got high availability. You might be shipping off to a disaster recovery center on the other side of the country or the other side of the world. All these things that you have to do. And so we fully recognize that just deploying it out is only the start of that process. And what we're showing you is that you can control it all and make sure that things happen in the right order afterwards and that you meet all your compliance requirements, all your regulatory compliance, all that kind of stuff. Okay?
Keep going. So one of the things I talked about is how do we migrate from what I have using Virtual Machine Manager 2008 R2 and Self-Service Portal, Solution Accelerator, to System Center 2012? I'm glad you asked that question. Available on or shortly available on Microsoft Download is a migration guide for System Center Virtual Machine Manager Self-Service Portal 2.0 Service Pack 1. Some prerequisites that are required. One, you need the 2012 version of our products installed in a separate environment to your 2008 R2 environment. You need the cloud services process pack installed on that environment. And one thing to note, this migration tool will not migrate your actual virtual machines and actual templates from Virtual Machine Manager 2008 R2 to 2012. You need to do that ahead of time. And it requires at least .NET 3.5 to run this. When you will be able to, as everybody hopefully should know, knows that all the sessions here at MMS are streamed on demand. You can grab the URL for the white paper off of the presentation by accessing that the on-demand download. So how does this migration tool work? Well, you start by configuring the project administrator user role and the capacity pool user role in your global settings. We go and create our cost centers, create our cloud in our virtual machine manager environment in the new environment. We create the the virtual machine manager self-service user role for that cloud. We get the user role GUID through PowerShell. It's a little niggly bit that we're fixing for the final release. And we use that as part of the migration wizard. So first off, we specify the server that hosts the virtual machine manager self-service portal database and our specific credentials. So we access, define the actual SQL database and the credentials to get access to it. We then specify the service manager management server to which we migrate the data. So for the SSP, you specify the actual SQL database you're connecting to, but for the server that you're migrating to, you just need to specify the server that the management, the service manager management server, which may or may not be the physical location where the service manager database sits. You can have those sitting on the same machine, you can split those out. We verify that those two are correct. Cool, keep on going. We then map our business units in the SSP to our new projects, or what the new term is, tenants, in Service Manager 2012 using Cloud Services Process Pack. One thing I've been asked is, can I map to an existing project? You can. Recommendation is to create a new project or a new tenant inside of your 2012 environment and map the values into that. We then select or deselect the administrators who are going to have access to these resources. We then specify what infrastructure services we're going to migrate across. So what's the particular service? What's the specific capacity pool that we're going to pull across? Storage quota, memory quota, virtual machines, virtual CPU information. We then specify what virtual machine manager cloud in the new 2012 environment we want to migrate all this to. We select our virtual machine templates, our logical networks, our user roles, and we map our user role names across. We select what virtual machine information we're going to associate with that particular capacity pool, review those details, and migration goes and takes that data out of the SSP database and moves it into the service manager CMDB and maintains the linkages and the relationships between all the resources. So, no more slides. We got one to close.
One closing slide.
Maybe one closing slide. Now we're going to spend the rest of the time actually showing what some of this stuff looks like. So, excuse me. I'm coughing like some of you, probably getting over being sick. So first off, I want to talk about the user interface. We have the Cloud Services Process Pack creates a number of standardized offerings that we ship as part of Service Manager that are published through the Service Catalog. What you're looking at here is the new Service Catalog using Service Manager from System Center 2012. It's Silverlight web parts hosted in SharePoint. Everything that's presented here is done without coding. So I'll go ahead and click into what's top level, which is my service offering. And I have three out-of-the-box what are called request offerings. Register a tenant, create a cloud services subscription request, and cloud services virtual machine request. We literally, to provision your capacity and register your tenants, you go top to bottom in order. So we'll start with the registering of a new tenant. This is, I want to create a new business unit, a new group within my private cloud that I want to give resources to. So I can go through and request that tenant. So we'll say new, should we make a tenant for VJ? We're going to sell his mug.
Sure. Who wants VJ's mug?
Who wants VJ's mug?
Yeah. You realize we made three of those and they're unique. We only made three. They were actually hand-created while Sean types that in. Those mugs were created by Kenan's wife. So literally, she hand-painted all three of them and fired them in the kiln. Okay, just a little bit of trivia for you.
There you go. So we got the new tenant is VJ's mug.
All right. So we'll I'm picking he's not giving it up. I don't think he's put it down. He's had beer, wine, Coke, coffee, tea. No, he doesn't drink coffee. He's had tea.
He's had tea? Okay, we'll just say it. Just to make it easy. So what I've done here is just by filling out a few, filling out our form. Again, this form was generated. We create this automatically for you. The form is generated automatically by Service Manager, and I submit and I create my new tenant. Now that will go back in the back-end workflow. We'll actually create that request, and we'll see a new open service request here get generated a little bit. So we see new tenant for VJ. I'll go ahead and open up that particular request. And we have some out-of-the-box activities you can see here that are still in the process of generating themselves that will allow us to assign who the approver is for that new tenant, approve that, and go ahead and provision that new tenant inside the private cloud. If I hit refresh, that will start showing up. And we can see the status of these right here in the upper right-hand corner. Now, I have one that was created before, just to show you what this looks like. And so I have my activities here. We assigned a project administrator. That new project administrator approved the request. The project was created, and we updated the information inside the CMDB with all the details. In, done, dusted. Oop, wrong. So from creating our request, we'll go back into our service offering, and we're going to go ahead and select a new capacity subscription. So we registered our tenant. I'm going to use a pre-existing tenant that we already registered and create a new request. Right now that tenant's getting created on the back end. It takes a little bit longer than we have time for here to be able to demonstrate this. So we're going to say a new tenant. We'll say VJ's mug auction capacity. We want this done quickly. And very quickly, because I already have an existing tenant already in here, and we'll grab the Contoso purchasing tenant that's in the system. What's the subscription going to be named? Auction. And we can start specifying. Here's where we specify the capacity that shows up in Virtual Machine Manager. So we can say, what's the maximum storage for this subscription? Well, we're going to be auctioning it off as mug. So we might want to say, we want to allow, what do you think, 75 gigs of data? Maximum number of memory, we'll say 512. Max number of virtual machines, we'll allow 10. Number of CPUs, we'll say 8. And here we can see we've presented back to the user, to the person requesting this subscription, hey, what virtual machine templates do you want to make available to your particular subscription of resources? So we presented the number of the virtual machine templates out of the CMDB. Where did we get those? Through the Virtual Machine Manager connector between Service Manager and Virtual Machine Manager, pulled that information across, and we can reference it here and publish it to our service catalog. Well, I'll select all of them, why not? And now we can specify our virtual logical network. So I'll grab my logical network, go to the next page. Now I can ask, it's asking me for what are the different storage classifications? Well, I'll just say local storage and my administrative infrastructure. Come down next, I can deploy service templates. I'll say basic, and I might want to use the customer demographics template that we have. If there's a load balancer, if I've made a load balancer available, in this case I don't, I can specify a placement tag if I want. And then here, I have an option of, should virtual machines in this subscription be requested through Service Manager? Remember how we talked about you can configure this to enforce process control or not. Here's where you can actually specify, hey, for your subscription that you are requesting, do you want to require users, if they want a virtual machine, to actually go through and lodge a request? Yes or no? In this case, just because I'm a process geek, I'm going to say yep, because I don't want to stop demoing and I want to show you more. And we'll give a an owner here that you could separate multiple owners using semicolons, review my details, and submit. So I've lodged a couple of requests here. New tenant, new capacity pool. What that capacity pool or subscription request turns into, again, I have another service request that's shown up inside a service manager. It's still getting itself created. It's still getting itself created. But let me show you the activities that, out of the box, apply itself. We assign our approver. We can approve this capacity provisioning, or you can remove those two activities and just have capacity automatically created. The choice is yours. We have a provisioning activity and a provide access activity. Let me go through and show you an existing cloud subscription. So this is one I created a couple hours ago, where we created and assigned an approver. The approver assigned it. I'll show you the provisioning step. Here we have the provisioning step. And inside, as part of the Solution Accelerator, we added a task link called Create Capacity Pool. Oh, it's not in active state. It's not going to let me. If I can use the other one. What that does is actually opens up a separate window that is not unlike the self-service user role window inside a virtual machine manager that allows you to create a new self-service user, where we specify who it is, its members, what scope you have, so what infrastructure you're asking, what quotas you're going to allow. Remember, in the capacity pool, we specified how much memory, how much storage, how many virtual machines. When we get to that provision capacity task, one of the things that's currently available, and this is we are fixing for the final release, right now, in order to provision that capacity, you actually have to manually do it. Fixing that is going to be automated so that it will come into Virtual Machine Manager and automatically generate that capacity in Virtual Machine Manager for you and return that request back to the service manager activity and complete the task. When we were demonstrating this to a number of MVPs, they said, "You've really got to be kidding me. You got to make that manual. Things are supposed to be automatic." We said, "Okay, we'll fix." We've registered our new tenant. We have created our subscription and created our capacity. Capacity created shows up inside a virtual machine manager as the resources available for the groups, the new tenant that we provided that capacity for. Once that is there, we come back and we can then choose to either consume those resources via App Controller, or we can require them to request new virtual machines through the cloud services process, through another request. So I'm going to show, just for those that want to have this in place, we'll provide this out of the box too. So the out-of-the-box provisioning activity for creating a new virtual machine. So we go to the request form. What's the title? Virtual machines. And we'll say I want that immediate. Here's the capacity pool of the one I showed earlier, the finance team getting created. I can now select that, so it's dynamically added. Enter name for my virtual machines, enter description, go next. Now I can specify again, how many virtual machines do I want to create? I'll say 5. Enter virtual machine suffix. This is an integer field. Notice I remove it, I get a little tag on the right-hand side. Expected unit is int, parameter value. Okay, so in other words, I want to type, not let me. We have automatic data validation built in that you can configure. I'll just say 1, 2, 3. Now I come down to my virtual machine templates. I don't see a menu. Well, I just hit refresh. There we go. So I'll say I want a SQL tier and a bare metal. Nope, just one.
One.
Come to my logical networks, hit refresh. There's my logical network. And I have the option to specify a decommissioning date. So I'll say we'll just decommission it at the end of the month.
Another really good reason for using the Service Manager approval process is the decommissioning. You can do it through Orchestrator by polling Virtual Machine Manager and looking at when it was created, and then having a 90-day cycle or whatever that is to say, if you drop a machine out there, we're going to check with you every 90 days to make sure you still want it. And when you're running infrastructure as a service on a private cloud, or whether you're doing full service template deployment, you want to make sure that you're not deploying out a whole bunch of stuff and it never gets used. Okay, so this is how we can automatically do that, or you could do the same thing through Orchestrator by polling it, doing a date add, and then pulling that back as well.
Absolutely. Hit next, give me the group. And we'll say finance team 4, and
got a question over here while Sean's typing.
Yep.
When you selected earlier that you were a member of the finance group, is that trimmed to your role? Like if there were 20 groups, is that trimmed to groups you were a member of?
I missed the question.
You typed, when Sean typed the finance team?
So back on the first page, you selected it, you were a member of the financial group.
Like the tenant that I wanted to create.
Yeah.
Yes. If I can, to
you
the answer
the,
question,
you only see the list that you're allowed to see.
Yep. Yeah. The answer is yes. You notice there was only one tenant in that list. I actually have active. Where is it? Here it is.
Lots.
33 active projects in there. So you didn't see. You only saw the ones that you were a member of. So you can have multiple different tenants set up. Project is what the new term for a project is, a tenant. My apologies. But that's trimmed down, and you only see, that's the other piece for the process control, is service manager is only going to show you what you are allowed to see. And your data center administrators, your private cloud administrators, they are the ones that determine and define what it is you are allowed to see. And you do that ahead of time, and then you allow people to come and request as they wish. Specify
you can only have one owner.
Usually you can put more, but we'll just have one.
You can have a group or a user as an owner of a virtual machine in VMM.
Hit, and my service request is created. Again. Go into Service Manager. I see my service request that I just created is there now. Once my capacity is capacity is also in progress, we can see that moving along. You see we've assigned an approver. Now we're just waiting for that person to approve it.
That owner group's really important from a quota point of view. As you'll see when we go into App Controller, only the owner or the group of owners have the capacity that is being used applied against their quota. So you can have, a lot of people have visibility of the virtual machines, but it does not count against their quota. Only the person or the user or the group that is specified as the owner of the virtual machine or the service will have that capacity applied against their quota. Okay, so it's a trick that I've seen a few times where people say, wait a minute, I've applied a quota in an App Controller, I don't see anything on the bars. It's because you can see it, but you're not the owner. Okay.
So I've showed you a couple of how we have set up all of the resource, the requests for new tenants, requests for new capacity. We approved our capacity request. This is going to now go and start provisioning that inside a Virtual Machine Manager or presenting all the information. We can then move into the provisioning capacity, hit our create capacity pool. It's not active. Come on. No. I'm trying to move faster than the system. There. That's what I was waiting for, the little play button. Now I can go into it. And this is the part that we are fixing, so I will move forward this. But we open up our create capacity rule wizard, and then we start walking through. It's passed in some of our information. Yep, that's fine. Create a new cloud, great. Virtual machine templates are all there. Service templates are all there. Logical networks we've selected. This is where I have to do something. So I have a VMM user role that I have to create for this group. So I flick over to my virtual machine manager template, and I say create user role, and we'll say auction. Their self-service user, who are their members. What's their scope, given to the administrative infrastructure? What quotas do they allow? This is, again, a little bit of double entry, which is why we are fixing this part up. But I'll just leave that as next. Add my resources. What do I want to give them access to? So we will send a VM template. What actions we allow them to do? They can save state. Allow them to start, stop, shut down virtual machines. And deploy from templates. Hit next, add the run as account. Summary. Finish. So I've created my new self-service user inside of, and this is happening inside of Virtual Machine Manager. I then need to grab the self-service username and the GUID, the global unique identifier for that user, and pop that into Service Manager. This was one of the clunky pieces that we are fixing. So that's going to go ahead, work itself out. What we then do is come over here into PowerShell, and here's an example of what I did before. I do a get SC user role dash name, finance team 4, which is the name of a previous self-service user. It brings up information about that user, shows me an ID. In fact, I think I can just quick run this. Created the user role, so that's done. So I'll do that for auction. Do a mark. Grab that. Go back into my wizard. Type auction. And paste.
Wow.
Hit next. Mark is complete. And I'm done with creating my capacity. And I've linked those two together. We are making this more automatic for the final release, which is why things we held back. I wanted to show it to you so you know what is happening, but know that this is going to be an automated activity when we release this in the near term. So we're closed. I can then mark my activity as completed. My activity is now shown as completed, and apply my request. And what we'll see is our provide access activity is going to go off and actually update the CMDB and give the tenant permissions to that capacity, and I can go ahead and start creating virtual machines inside that environment. So that's a walk through the cloud services process pack. Registering new tenants, registering private cloud capacity for those tenants, and then if you so choose, having the processes in place to request new virtual machines inside of that provision capacity. We can make that available from a self-service standpoint using the Service Manager Service Catalog. You have the ability to also tailor that how you wish. We're shipping these request offerings out of the box as an unsealed management pack, which you can take and you can customize. Difference to what was available when we shipped RC. We shipped it as a sealed pack. You had to take the request offerings, copy them, and create them. We're changing that as well to make it easier for you to take this and provision it and tailor it. One of the things that's happening also on the back end is the orchestrator runbooks. Here's an example of one of the provisioning runbooks that's taking place. We're initializing data, and it's off thinking right now, trying to provision virtual machines inside my capacity. But we ship as part of the cloud services process pack the runbooks needed to provision your capacity, provision your services, or your new resources inside of your private cloud. So I'll bring up Orchestrator here and show you. We have our particular runbooks. You'll have a folder called Cloud Services. And it provides you, here's the create virtual machine, here's the decommission, and here's the update virtual machine. This Dinner Now one is one I used for a demonstration earlier in the week, so you don't get that one. If you call me, I'll send it to you as an export if you want. So we create virtual machines, decommission them, and update the virtual machine. So if you create something and want to update it, we have a process request in there for doing that as well. And we can see here in our logs that this particular runbook for creating has actually been run and kicked off a number of times. All right, so it's going and starting to create capacity for us. So that's the service manager side of, and service manager and orchestrator side of provisioning capacity for our private cloud, registering tenants, registering new capacity, and creating virtual machines. I want to hand it over to Adam, who's going to show a bit more on the app controller side of consuming those resources.
You've got them.
Okay, so what Sean's showing you is how to set up all of the background. They've got multiple keyboards up, confusing me. How to set up all of the infrastructure behind that. In the keynote in demo one, we showed with Vijay how we did all the fabric configuration. That's all the hardware. That's how you set up the virtual networks, all of the storage, the compute, and so forth. When it moves across to the application side, you've got the approval side that Sean just showed you, and then App Controller is part of the self-service elements of System Center as an application owner or application developer, if you will. We can do both virtual machines and applications that are running as services as well. I always sort of show a multi-tenanted application, like we showed in the keynote with the expenses application, but you can also do this just with virtual machines. And the way that we do this is everything that is deployed in Virtual Machine Manager, and this is the Virtual Machine Manager 2012, the service that's running and the virtual machines are all exposed in App Controller based on the role and based on who you are. So this service has three virtual machines. As an IT person, I would see this. I can see all the details under the hood, I can see all the details, and there's no problem. As a person who's an application owner and a consumer of all of these services, I just want a virtual machine. I just want to deploy my app. I just want access to my stuff. I have no idea what virtual machines are, possibly. I might know the names. I might not know the names. I probably don't know the IP addresses. So the two levels that we have with an app controller are the ability to see the virtual machines, and this will populate down. I've broken some of my apps so that I can get some different status equivalents there. These are the virtual machines that are running underneath the application. So when we scaled out the application, this is the environment we ran for the keynote. You can see there's the second front end that we scaled out in the keynote. But I can see those virtual machines. I see their names. I can connect to them. Those roles that Sean ticked inside Virtual Machine Manager in terms of what I was allowed to do are now lit up in App Controller along this bar. And so I can do things like remote desktop, remote console, start, stop, shut down, depending on the capabilities that Sean has allowed me to have as a consumer of these services. So without knowing anything about the infrastructure, all I know is my app, or I've asked for a virtual machine, I now know all of those details, or at least as many details as I need to be able to see that. We also see, if I bring up the underlying thing, I get all the details about that virtual machine. If it's in a service template in terms of an application, I'll see the service template model that you see there. If it's just a standalone virtual machine, I'll just see one VM. But I see everything about the operating system, how many processes, my memory utilization, and so on. I see all these details as a consumer without having any access to the underlying infrastructure. Okay, all part of that self-service element. So in App Controller, we can see the quota, and we talked about the owner of the service or the virtual machine having the capacity applied against their quota. So here, I have an unlimited number of virtual machines, which is fantastic, but only within the bounds of the number of processes, the amount of storage, and the amount of memory that I'm allowed to consume. So I've been delegated down, I think, 64 procs, or virtual CPUs, I should say, about a terabyte of storage, and not a whole lot of memory by the looks of things. So I can do what I want within that pool. Now, in the opposite world to what Sean just told you, which is the real controlled process-orientated one, I can see across those clouds where my capacity lies, and I can also deploy new services and new virtual machines in a self-service manner. I've been given a swimming pool. It's this big. I can do whatever I want within that pool. Sean's got a cloud or a swimming pool as well, and he can swim within his. We can't impact each other. We've been delegated the rights to use this much, okay? First thing you're asked for, you want to deploy something, is where do you want to put it? So when I bring up the clouds view, I have access to two different private clouds. We have two infrastructures here, one for development, one for pre-prod, and as you saw in the keynote, we have a third one for production that I don't currently have access to. I can choose one of those, and yes, I want to use a different cloud, and then I can select my template. So I only have access to that service, the Contoso Expenses service template. Now, as you'll see on the screen, there's a big red number with negative 25. I do not have enough capacity to deploy this application. I would need to go into a self-service request mode to say, I want to deploy my app, and I don't have enough capacity. I can't even start the deployment of my app or my virtual machine because I've used up all my quota. Now, that's what's showing what a service looks like, a multi-tenanted one. What if you just want a virtual machine? Well, let's show you what that looks like. If we go into Virtual Machine Manager and take a look at what we have in here, you can see we have some VM templates as well. So we've just got a really simple Server 2008 R2 with SQL installed in it. Let's just use that one. If we take a look at the properties of that from the IT side, and you could do this through an automated fashion as well, one of the options that we have to configure is the access. And the access defines who's allowed to use this template, who's allowed to deploy that. At the moment, you can see that it's only administrator, and they're the only people that are allowed to do it. I'm going to add my self-service users role into this and click OK. By doing that, if I take a look at the jobs, we'll just make sure that that ran OK. Here we did. We've shared an isolated resource. If I go back to App Controller now, if I go and take a look in the library and just validate that that came back and take a look in the templates, which one did I put it into, development or production? Production. I can now see that template. Okay? So going back to my cloud again, go to pre-prod, deploy, select a template. I've now got two options there, and I can deploy my virtual machine. Now, what Sean was showing you in terms of the automation and in terms of the self-service request portal is if you wanted to do that through Service Manager, I'd go fill in a form and say, please, can I have access to this template? Please, can I deploy a virtual machine? In this world, I just have rights to do it. I've got been delegated my capacity. I can simply click OK. It's going to bring up my ability to configure that virtual machine. It's going to say, what name do you want? It's not going to let me do that. All right. Let's go with MMS Demo 01. Oh, see, that's the virtual machine name. The computer name will be dynamically registered for me. That's all fine. The password's been pre-populated. Let's make sure that it's connecting to Contoso, the network, otherwise it's not going to work so well. Click OK, and I can now hit deploy. App Controller is now telling Virtual Machine Manager to go deploy that. And in fact, from my side, from an App Controller point of view, all that I know, if I come down to my virtual machines view, I will see very shortly, it will refresh. If we go and take a look at what's happening at Virtual Machine Manager at the back, that's triggered a job that is going to go and find a place to put that. Oh, I'm going to fail. Did I just fail? No, there it is. It's coming back. Oh, no. Create. Oh, what did it say? Here we go. Troubleshooting on the fly. See if we can figure out why. I've got access to everything. That's interesting. Demo failure? Oh, I see. It's configured with dynamic. All right. So what's happened there is even though I got access to the virtual machine template, and even though I've got capacity in my cloud, this template is configured with a memory utilization that would allow me to go over it. And it's got dynamic memory installed. So even though the minimum said I could have it, theoretically, I could go over my capacity limit. I'm going to raise that with the VMM team. That's quite interesting. That should have not allowed me to do that at all. So anyway, that's how it should have run. Let's just move on. And it's going to tell me that I failed, so we're getting all that capacity coming back. So App Controller, I'm just looking at the time. I want to open up and make sure we answer any questions. App Controller is about application self-service, virtual machine self-service. Infrastructure as a service. You've got a big platform. You want to delegate out the rights to get to virtual machines. You want to have full service templates. We deployed out an app. We can see the diagrammatic view here of that pre-prod application that we deployed. We get to see what it looks like. You can see there's the scale out that we did in the keynote. It did actually run. It did actually complete backstage. And we can see all of those details. And by clicking on one, and in fact, I can scale out it even more and say, yes, I'll even have a third instance. So I can do that from App Controller in a delegated fashion. I'm within my quota. I'm within my cloud. I'm not going to take over anybody else. And that will now scale out that application, and all are going according to plan. We should see pop in pre-prod, not production. We scale out the frontier. There's two. We will see pop pretty shortly, PPO 3 as well. So we've got just on 15 minutes left. I want to make sure we answer any questions. We've covered a lot of content in a really short space of time, for all the way from the base up. So any questions on any of that? Any concerns?
Question over here.
How does App Controller get assigned to each tenant?
Yeah, so I assume that's what I'm looking at. There's a tenant in my cloud, right?
Yes.
So how does that assign?
Sure. So the question was, I'll inverse the question a little bit. As I log on, what do I see? It is ultimately what you're saying. So App Controller has the coverage here of my user. I log in as my Active Directory user, and it does a lookup against those resources and says, what am I allowed to see? So those roles in Virtual Machine Manager that Sean was creating as part of those tenants and adding users in, it says, which groups are you a member of, and what groups, what resources does those groups have access to?
So when you're specifying a new tenant, you specify who is a member of that tenant. As those members log into App Controller, they're going to see the resources that we allocated to that particular tenant through App Controller.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as a service provider, they would see what they're allocated to.
And when Ryan in the keynote went to Service Manager, filled in the form and hit submit and said, I'd like access to the cloud, and it dynamically popped on the screen, what was actually happening under the hood was Service Manager got the ticket. We had it set for auto approval. It's a keynote. We just want it to happen quickly. Orchestrator runs a runbook, which triggers the adding of Ryan's account into that group. And then App Controller refreshes and pops it on the screen. That's what actually happened behind the scenes. So that whole keynote was real, by the way. There was no smoke and mirrors in any of that keynote at all. So it was all completely live. Yes. Any other questions?
You're welcome. Other questions?
No questions? Really?
So
all of that made sense?
I'm impressed.
Seriously?
It all made sense.
This is our last session of the week, guys. This is it for us. We're closing out after this. So ask us now. Yeah, question.
So the service catalog, when you had various requests,
yep.
I think there are two requests you really wouldn't be able to get to unless you were a tenant.
Correct.
Have you guys thought about it or had any security driven that at all?
So the question is, have we thought about trimming by permissions the request to get beyond, if you are not registered as a tenant, you can't even see the other request capacity request. We haven't done that out of the box. We could take that as a DCR and consider it for the future. One thing to note is you could go into each of those requests, but it's not going to let you get past the first screen, because the first thing in creating capacity that it's asking for or creating your subscription is which tenant are you? And if you can't see that any tenants, you can't even get down to the next. It won't let you go to the next screen to even finish your request. It's just going to stop you right there. So that security is in there in some form, but in terms of could you do visibility by, you actually could out of the box, we just haven't done it.
Any other questions?
So we demoed the Cloud Services Process Pack, we demoed App Controller. Just to wrap up, as I mentioned, if you're using the 2008 R2 Self-Service Portal Solution Accelerator, it's not available anymore. You need to look at migrating up to the System Center 2012 components and capabilities. The Cloud Services Process Pack contains a lot of the request and service offerings that we showed you here to help get you started and get that work happening. That will be coming out within the next month and a half as we revamped it right at the end as products were going to RTM to update some features and take advantage of some better automation. There is the migration tool that's available. Hopefully we've communicated, sounds like we've communicated all the objectives of today's session, which is fantastic. Well, I had the target at the beginning of the session, so you got to have, are there any other questions? If not, Adam and I want to thank you for taking the time to be here with us. We'll be around for additional questions. Please make sure to complete your evaluations. We look at every single piece of feedback and look to make these sessions that much better in future conferences. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Thanks, guys.